Morning. We have four cases scheduled for argument this morning, three on the 9 o'clock docket. We have been informed that counsel in the three cases on the 9 o'clock docket have announced ready, so we'll call the first case, Texas Ethics Commission versus Toby Goodman.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Timothy Bray. I'm an assistant attorney general. I represent the Texas Ethics Commission, the appellant in this matter. This case should be remanded back to the trial court on the grounds that there exist disputed issues of material fact that precluded summary judgment for Mr. Goodman. Now, the material fact in dispute is Mr. Goodman's understanding and reliance on EAO 319. In this case, Mr. Goodman has asserted the affirmative defense of reasonable reliance on EAO 319, which is found at Texas Government Code Section 571.097. That specific statute allows for a defense to the imposition of a civil penalty that the person reasonably relied on a written advisory opinion of the commission relating to the provision of the law the person is alleged to have violated, or relating to a fact situation that is substantially similar to the fact situation in which the person is involved.
What evidence do you contend raises a question of fact?
Thank you, Your Honor. What we contend is that Mr. Goodman's understanding and reliance on 319 simply was not reasonable, given that his circumstances are different from 319. And that's from, first of all, just a plain reading of 319. Now, with ethics advisory opinions, these are in response, these are specific responses to a specific question. These are not grand, this was not, in this case, a grand pronouncement of law by the Texas Ethics Commission. This was simply in response to a specific question.
But isn't now, the reasonableness really a question of law?
I would disagree, Your Honor, that it's a question of fact. And I rely on that. One of the cases is Hall versus Harris County Water Control, which is at 683 Southwest 2nd, 863. It's a 14th District Court of Appeals case from 1984. In which the appellant claimed reasonable reliance on a representation concerning water service, and the Court of Appeals there found that the reasonable reliance argument that they were asserting is a question of fact. And I would submit that is the same here, that whether Mr. Goodman reasonably relied on EAO 319 is, in fact, a question of fact.
So Mr. Goodman stated that he did rely on that opinion. And is there any controverting evidence or any, getting back to Justice Livingston's question, which I'm not sure you answered, what is the evidence that the Attorney General relies on to create a fact issue on reasonableness?
The EAO 319 is limited to a specific set of facts. Mr. Goodman, in the purchase of the condo in Travis County originally and subsequently the Williamson County house, both of those properties were originally purchased with he and his wife jointly purchasing those properties. And on both of those properties, he remained financially liable on the note securing the mortgage for those properties. He still had an interest in those properties. Looking at 319, 319 does not at all in any way talk about the legislator continuing to have an interest in the property.
But you say he has an interest in the property, but in fact he didn't. He transferred his entire interest to his wife. I mean, what you're saying is that he was liable on a note, which happened to be for that property, but he didn't have an interest.
Well, I believe that it would be a financial interest in that property, Your Honor.
Well, what would be the difference if In the ethics advisory opinion 319, the office holder there, the opinion recognizes that the payment of the rentals is community property. What would be the difference if that rental money was used to pay a note on different property?
Because in this case, Mr. Goodman is directly linked to that property by the note, the outstanding note that he is personally liable on.
But we don't know whether those monies were used to, whether those rental monies were used to pay that note or not. There's no evidence in the record of that, is there?
There isn't, but that's part of the question of fact, Your Honor, because specifically in the note, and I'm looking specifically at pages 48 and 49 in the record, this is the note that secured the mortgage on the Williamson County property. Mr. Goodman, the obligation of Mr. Goodman is if more than one person signs this note, each person is fully and personally obligated to keep all of the promises made in this note, including the promise to pay the full amount. Mr. Goodman, it's undisputed given that this is part of his evidence, he promised to pay. So there's no evidence that would suggest that he didn't pay. And I think that that goes to the issue of 319 being different in that he continues to have a link to that property, whereas there's nothing in 319 that suggests the legislator in that opinion continued to have. In fact, it assumes that the legislator doesn't, because in footnote 1, it talks about the legislator not acquiring a property interest in that property by virtue of making those payments. In this case, it is very different from Mr. Goodman and his continuing to have that obligation. And that goes directly to the two statutes that the Ethics Commission reviewed and applied in 319, and that's section 253.035 and .038. .035 is the precludes an elected official from converting political contributions to personal use. The safe harbor provision within that, which is subsection D1 of that statute, specifically carves out an exemption from that for legislators who don't reside in Travis County, which is the bulk of legislators. And that is that they can use political contributions to pay for housing, reasonable housing expenses, household expenses in Travis County. And it specifically says Travis County, as does advisory opinion number 319. When you read 319, it's limited to the issue of a legislator seeking to pay rent to his spouse for separate property for a condo in Travis County. With regard to Mr. Goodman, his house that he jointly purchased with his wife was in Williamson County. Now, the arguments have been made in here that the house was actually physically closer to the Capitol than other properties would be that would be in Travis County, and that may very well be. But the fact of the matter is that the legislature said Travis County. They didn't say within a certain proximity to the Capitol or it has to be here or there. They said Travis County. And EAO 319 was limited to a fact pattern in which a property was located in Travis County. That's different from Mr. Goodman's case, at least with regard to the Williamson County house. And that goes to the fact that his reading of 319, his reliance on 319, there's a fact issue there by the documents that he has submitted showing that his house was in Williamson County. And therefore, the reliance issue, the reasonable reliance issue, there's a question of fact as to whether he could reasonably rely on 319.
Is there any evidence in the summary judgment record that shows any tracing of the payments Mr. Goodman made to his wife for rent to payments on the note in question?
No, Your Honor, not in the summary judgment record.
Wouldn't that be required in order to find a violation in this case?
I think that, no, Your Honor, it would not.
Why not?
Because the note specifically obligates him to pay.
But if none of the political contributions that he used to pay rent go to payment of the note, then how can you say there's a violation?
Well, there's certainly been no evidence to the contrary either to show that the payments that he made that he's expressly promised to you to make, and he's admitted that he's paid rent using political contributions to his wife, there's no evidence to the contrary that suggests that they did not. And in the absence of anything, I think that it's clear, given his promise to pay and his admission that he did pay using political contributions. I think he paid rent, though.
There's no admission that he paid anything on the principal or interest of the note. And I would think that it would be your burden to bring forth some evidence to create a fact issue on that part of the case, even if you may have a fact issue on reasonable reliance. It seems to me that you've got a problem with proving a violation or any evidence of a violation.
Well, again, Your Honor,
unless, of course, you're just relying on some inference from the fact of, that he paid rent.
I believe that that's sufficient, Your Honor. I believe that the fact that he has expressly agreed to pay that note, the principal and amount, and the fact that he did use political contributions to pay rent. And this is, with regard to the Williamson County House, Mr. Goodman and his wife purchased the property one day. This was clearly a thought-out process. And the very next day, he conveyed title to his wife and entered into a partition agreement and then began paying, using political contributions to pay rent. I think that the clear implication there is that he intended to use political contributions to pay for that property, and including he promised it under the note.
Couldn't the clear implication be that he intended to comply with Ethics Advisory Opinion 319?
No, Your Honor, because 319 is different than his situation, because he continues to have an interest in that property and
See,
ultimately is
benefiting. That's where you're losing me. That's where you're losing me, because 319 in the footnote specifically says, in the absence of an agreement to the contrary, income from separate property is community property. Although in this case the legislator may have a community interest in the rent payments, the legislator does not acquire an interest in the real property by virtue of those payments. So the fact that he made rent payments, it says in Ethics Advisory Opinion 319, does not create an interest. So the interest that you're relying on is a note that's on that property. But I'm saying, what's the difference? It could be a note on any property. It could be a note. We don't know if the funds that he paid to his wife for rent on that property were used to pay a note on his house in Arlington. We don't know that. And so that's where I'm having problem with your argument, is how do you get that interest when the Ethics Advisory Opinion says it does not create an interest?
Because our contention and our argument is not that by making those payments Mr. Goodman is acquiring an interest. He already had an interest in that property through his continuing liability.
Okay, I see the distinction you're making now.
Yeah. I'll reserve my time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Hayes.
May it please the court, Mr. Bray. My name is Steve Hayes. I'm here representing Toby Goodman today. Since we're dealing with a statute that we don't deal with a lot, I provided the court with a handout that contains that statute and some other materials, because I think it helps us to go through its red deal. Yeah, there we go. I think it helps us to go through the statute to show Toby Goodman did not violate the plain language of either one of these statutes. And this court can decide this case and affirm the summary judgment to Mr. Goodman by relying on the plain language of the statutes. And it doesn't even have to go to 319, though the undisputed evidence shows that Toby reasonably relied on that opinion as well. If you'll look behind tab 1 in the handout, that section 253.038, this is the criminal statute that the TEC has alleged that Toby Goodman violated. This statute says that an officeholder may not knowingly make or authorize a payment from political contributions to purchase real property or to pay for a promissory note on concerning the purchase of real property. Toby Goodman didn't do that.
Is there undisputed evidence that none of the payments that he made to his wife went to pay the interest or any of the principal of the note in question?
We don't know what Gloria Goodman did with that. There's no evidence in the record, and it doesn't matter because the statute says you have to take the political contribution and make the payment. Toby Goodman paid rent. That's where the analysis ends.
But if the political contribution was traced to the payment on the note, are you saying that
it doesn't
the fact that it was characterized as a rent payment would take it completely out of the statute?
Correct.
So just all you'd have to do is say, I'm paying you rent, and that exonerates you.
That's
from
what he did. The undisputed evidence is he paid rent to Gloria, period. And as a matter of fact, under the statute 4.102 of the Family Code that was in existence during the time he paid rent on the Cedar Park house, that statute made those rent payments her separate property. But I'm saying under this statute, if the legislature had intended to do a tracing analysis or talk about directly or indirectly, it could have said so in the legislation. It did not do that. This court held back this last spring in a case called Bonig versus Starnair that every word excluded from a statute must also be presumed to have been excluded for a purpose. That's at 283 Southwest 3rd, 444, 447. If the legislature had intended for you to do a tracing analysis, it would have said, do that. It didn't. You look at the political contribution. What was the payment of the political contribution made for? And it paid rent. And the undisputed evidence in that case is to that effect.
Does the fact that the property was immediately transferred the next day make this case fall within that last phrase of 0.038, which is, or to pay the interest on or principal of a note for the purchase of real property?
No. He paid rent. I mean, that's the whole point of 4.102. When you partition property, the property becomes the property of the spouse, period. It's their separate property, just as if they had inherited it at birth. If you look behind tab 2 in the handout, there's a language from 253.035, which is the second statute the TEC accuses Mr. Goodman of violating. That statute says you cannot convert a political contribution to personal use. It then provides the court with a definition of personal use. Personal use means an individual or family purpose not connected with the performance of the duties or activities of the office holder.
Yes. Counsel, I'm going to ask a hypothetical just for the purpose.
Sure.
Of helping me and perhaps other members of the court understand what was intended by this statute, okay?
35.
Yeah, 253.038. This is basically just in response to a comment you made just a minute ago. Suppose there was some evidence that a legislator had struck a deal with a relative, and that deal was, okay, I'm going to give you checks out of my campaign account. I'm going to put for rent, but the deal is you're using that for the purpose of paying on this note that I'm obligated on. Would, again, back to your comment earlier that if you just say it's for rent, and it under no circumstances would it constitute a violation. If there's a knowing payment for the illusory purpose of rent that goes to the promissory note, would that be a violation?
No. Now or then? Now it's a violation because the legislature has changed the statute to say you cannot rent property from a family member or a closely held corporation, closely held business.
Well, I'm looking at the election code provision that says knowingly makes or authorizes a contribution to pay rent.
I don't think it does.
I'm sorry, to pay on the principal.
The political contribution paid rent. That's it. That's where the analysis stops. If the legislature had intended more than that, it would have provided the language to do that. It had 15 years to do so. It didn't do so.
So the knowing element in this statute is just really irrelevant for our purposes.
No, it's not. If the office holder paid the promissory note, in other words, the house remained in his name or didn't remain in his name or whatever, but he used the political contribution and took the political contribution, issued a check to the mortgage company paying the rent, paying the promissory note, that's fine.
You're saying that the only way you can violate this statute is if there's a direct payment to the mortgage company from the legislator.
Yes.
If there's a pass-through of any sort, even if it's knowingly, there's no violation.
That's correct.
Okay.
I think.
That's okay. Thank you.
And if there's any authority to the contrary on that, I haven't found it. Counsel for the TEC hasn't found it. To my knowledge, we certainly haven't heard about it.
Well, this is a case of first impression.
As far as I know, yes, sir. And I'd like to make the point that it's a case of first impression, notwithstanding Ethics Opinion Number 319. Ethics opinions are intended for the reliance of the legislator. They are not like AG's opinion, the only effect they can have. And this is in, I think I've put this behind, tab 4, which talks about the reasonable reliance on written advisory opinion. That's the only effect they have, so they're not binding on the court. It's a one-way street. The legislators can benefit from it. They can't be punished by them. Going back to 035, personal use means that it's not connected with the performance of the office holder's duties. This court has written four opinions in the last 7 years of Toby Goodman's service on the legislature in which it recognized, and these are behind tab 7 in the handout. You don't need to look at them now. Recognized him representing parties in front of it. Recognized testimony he gave that he had practiced family law in Tarrant County for 30 years, recognizing his activities in the legislature. The only evidence in this case was that Toby Goodman was a legislator for 16 years representing the district in Arlington. The Constitution requires him to maintain his primary residence up here, Article 3, Section 6 and 7, Article 16, Section 14 of the Constitution. You can't be a legislator and have your primary residence up here, legislate in Austin and not have a residence down there in the Austin area. You can't do it. Just like students can't go to UT without having a residence down there, and I can testify from personal fact that you can't even work as an archivist at a museum in Corsicana and not have a residence down there. So your analysis can end right there. The residence he had down there was connected with his duties as an office holder. By definition, that's not a personal use. The legislature could have said and could have written this and said, you know what, if there's any personal or individual or family use that you get out of it, it doesn't matter whether it's connected with your duties or not. That's personal use. That's not how they wrote the statute. They wrote the statute to say if it's connected with your duties, it's not a personal use.
What about subsection D1 that does say for reasonable housing or household expenses incurred in maintaining a residence in Travis County, which becomes problematic for the house as opposed to the condominium?
Actually, it's not, and I'll tell you why. When you read that and read section D in the handout, you will notice The legislature says personal use does not include, and they give examples. This is not an exclusive list. They don't say does not exclude to the exclusion of, does not include to the exclusion of every other instance. It just says does not include the following. And one of the things it does not include is renting a residence in Travis County. Now, if renting a residence in Travis County is not a personal use, then it makes no sense to conclude that renting a residence in Cedar Park County, in Cedar Park, which is closer to the Capitol, and this is what's shown on the map behind tab 9 in the handout, and which is part of the appendix in our brief. It makes no sense to say that renting a house in Cedar Park that's closer to the Capitol than 25% of Travis County is a personal use. The legislature gave an example in D1. It was not an exclusive example. And the house in Cedar Park is not a personal use for the same reason. And
why would they pick Travis County to give an example like that and leave everybody guessing if they intended to include any other counties in that? I mean,
the answer from the Senate,
my guess is that
the legislators in the counties immediately surrounding Travis County wanted the ability to use political contributions to rent a residence in Travis County for late nights. That's a Senate's answer. They gave that as an example. They could have picked other examples, but they could have
not limited it at all if they intended it to include other counties.
They didn't.
Correct? I mean, they could have said in any county and then gone on and rather than pick out Travis and...
They could have not given any examples at all. That's true. But that they gave an example and a non-exclusive example means they didn't exclude the renting of other properties. If it was me, I'd rent one in Salado, Texas, quite frankly, and stay away from the traffic, but that's just me. You can decide this case based on the plain language of the statutes. Toby Goodman didn't violate either one of them, and you don't have to deal with objections to summary judgment evidence and implied rulings and reasonable reliance and all that kind of stuff. If you want to go to Ethics Opinion number 319, which Toby Goodman called the TEC about, said, here's what I'm going to do, submitted the documents. They said, yeah, that's okay. The undisputed evidence is that he did that. But look at this for a minute. Now, the question that's posed, and this is behind tab 3 in the handout, the question that's posed is whether a legislature can use political contributions to rent a condo that's the spouse's separate property that's in Travis County. That's the question. And the answer to the question is, if you look at the last highlighted language there on page 1 of that part of the handout, the answer is a qualified yes. You can't do it if the rent you're paying exceeds the fair market value of the use of the house. Okay? Then the TEC also comments in the middle of the page, it says, oh, and by the way, if you make those payments, you need to report them as political expenditures. So the TEC, in answering the question, said, here's a condition we're going to impose on you. The rent can't exceed fair market value. You didn't ask us about that, but we're going to impose it. And then it says, oh, and by the way, make sure you report this. You didn't ask that either, but make sure you do that. But what the TEC didn't do, it didn't have one word in this opinion that it mattered one whit how the legislator's spouse acquired the property as her separate property. And if it had mattered, they would have said so. Why do we know that? Because it mattered whether the rent that was paid exceeded the fair market value, and they said that. Not only that, not only did it not matter, it's reasonable for somebody who reads this opinion to sit there and say, okay, well, here's two things that mattered. It matters that the rent is more than fair market value. Is the red light on? Okay. And therefore, they address that, but they didn't bring up the issue about how she acquired the property as her separate property. We ask you to affirm the summary judgment in the trial court.
Thank you.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Quickly, please. If the appellee is relying on 319, that fact scenario in 319 specifically relates to a condominium located in Travis County. Mm-hmm. So doesn't that create a problem for the reliance issue?
We're relying on it concerning the whole reason they brought that up has to do with, excuse me, the acquisition of the property as separate property and the fact that and they talk about, that's the other thing about this, they say that the fact situation behind this particular ethics opinion doesn't match Toby Goodman's situation. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know. We know that the TEC said, hey, if it's her separate property, it's her separate property. The implication of the footnote is the legislator still remains liable on that debt. But we're not relying on it for Travis County or not Travis County because that just doesn't matter. The Travis County deal is one that here's an example the legislator gave in the statute, and the house Toby Goodman rented in Cedar Park is closer than 25% of Travis County.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Bray.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that I will rest on our written submissions if there are no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both for appearing here this morning to present your arguments. The case is submitted. We're going to take a brief recess before calling the second case to see if we can get the Tarrant County facilities to stop whatever they're doing up on the roof. I'm sure it's annoying to y'all. So we'll take a recess and come right back after we deal with that. Thank you.